binyan habayit, the Jewish home. So we're building a building, and when you build a building, the foundation has to be very, very good. You could modify rooms, but if you have to modify the foundation, so it's a problem. A small crack in the foundation is a problem. And I think there's tremendous responsibility in this class. We try to make it with a lot of stories and explaining a lot of concepts. But at the end of the day, the class is really one of the most serious classes we have. It's the great, I feel, when I enter this class, this is the class that takes the most responsibility. Quite honestly, I'd much rather if someone else gave it and not me. Being that that's not the case, so here I am, and take it or leave it, for better or worse. What I say is my understanding based upon the teachings of our sages, but it is my understanding, and as I always say, you are more than welcome to hear other opinions, to compare, to check, to question, and maybe you'll find that someone else's approach is better for you. Fine, I try to explain everything I say, so you understand it, and then decide, take it or leave it, if it makes sense or not. And this is my disclaimer. Because I'm explaining, so I feel less of a responsibility. You guys think it through and see if it makes sense. This happens to be a very exciting class because we discuss life. You know, a lot of other things discuss laws, and this discusses tachas, how we're supposed to live our lives. And most people, when it comes to getting married, they don't give it a second thought till they're married. And then they look back and they say, oh, wait a second, how did I get here? Okay. I'm still a kid. I remember I went to fill out a form with my wife the other day, and we're enrolling our son in school, and they say, fill out the parent's name. So I'm putting my parent's name down, and then they say, no, you're the parent. I say, okay. Oh, okay, I'm the parent. Right, okay. Ready or not, here we come. This is life. We do Be'ezrat Hashem get married and have a home, and there's no one formula that works. There are many formulas that don't work, but when it comes to making a home work, so different people, different strokes for different folks, there are different types of relationships between spouses. What we're going to try to discuss are basic themes that should exist in every home, and things that every home should avoid, and things that will make every home more beneficial. And I recommend that you not only memorize these classes, I don't recommend you memorize them, but I had over the vacation a guy who attended these classes, and what he didn't attend, he listened online, and he came to me with certain issues within his marriage. And when we were talking, I said to him, you know, you really attended those classes, didn't I say? And he says, I'll tell you what you said. He quotes it verbatim by heart. I said, right. And didn't I give the story? He says, I'll tell you the story. He gives me the story by heart. So I said, okay, so what can I add? I already addressed this issue before you got married. So he says, you're right. I remember what you said, but it's so tough in real life. It's not the same thing. So this is about real life. I mean, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will get married. And the better prepared we are, Be'ezrat Hashem, the better of a home we'll build. And the goal here is not to memorize what I'm saying. Again, I'm one person. This is my understanding. You're welcome to hear what other people are saying, but understand it. And a person has to learn to make it a part of his life. And a person has to work on this being part of his life today, not to wait till he gets married and then figure out how to make it a part of his life. Now, I feel like the class is very limited, because as much as we're going to try to discuss practically, hands-on, what life is about and what a relationship is about with real life stories, at the end of the day, I don't know which points each person is missing. I say these classes more for myself. I say the classes, and then I listen. I say, okay, that's how I'm supposed to behave. I can only know what the points from my experience I feel have to be stressed. But each day and each week and each month and each year, I'm learning more and more about different points that different guys need that should be addressed in this class. And I don't know where each person is coming from. Most people in Machon Meir come from homes where the parents are divorced. That poses certain challenges. Most people come from a home where the parents are not religious or not Jewish altogether, and that poses other challenges. And we try to address many of these challenges. But to address them, I was just thinking this morning. My son was going out the first day to school, and our custom in the Yekish custom, the Germanic Jews have a custom that Friday night you call the child over and you bless him. You say the short blessing, Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim Achim Menashe, God should make you like Ephraim and Menashe, and then you say the blessing of the Kohanim, Yirecha Hashem Yishmecha, Yer Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yishmecha, Yisra Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yisimcha Shalom. Three short sentences while holding the child's head, you give him that blessing every Friday night. And there's an addition to this custom, which many people don't know, and that is that on the first day that the child goes to learn, when he goes to school, you also call him before you, and you hold him, and you give him that blessing. And every year, I remember, to this day, my father, if he had a business trip planned, he would try to rearrange his schedule, so that on the first day we went to school, at that hour in the morning when we were leaving the house, he would be there to give us the blessing before we went to school. And for the first time in my life, I was there giving the blessing to my son, and I thought about how much meaning it has to a parent and the child. When you're taking your child and you're telling him, son, you're not just going out now to have a good time to sit in cheder and get candies and learn holidays. I'm blessing you now because this is important to me. What you're doing is a really a central part of my life. I'm going to make sure to be home at this hour when you go out to school on your first day, and I want to bless you. You should succeed. That small blessing has a tremendous amount of meaning. I wouldn't have known to cover it in the Binyan HaBayit class, and most guys wouldn't have known to do it in their own homes, and I'm not telling you to adopt a minhag, even though it's a nice minhag, there's nothing wrong with adopting it. But that's just an example of a small, precious moment in the life of a Jewish home, which a class would not necessarily encompass. There are many such moments, and a class cannot encompass all of them. The best way to know all of these things is to have grown up in a Jewish home, in an Orthodox observant home. And when we don't have that option, then we have to go to the next best thing, and that is to frequent an Orthodox Jewish home. We have a student here, he's still with us now in the Machon Meir. Now when he came to Machon Meir, we're still good friends, but when he came and I got to know him, so after 3 weeks I couldn't figure out what he was doing at Machon Meir. We talk, and he knew the Jewish lingo. He knew how to talk. Everything, dress, talk. He seemed like he had grown up in a completely Orthodox home. Seemed like he knew everything. So I figured, okay, maybe the guy was a poor student in school. Maybe that's why he needs to play catch-up. So he's learning all these basic classes in Judaism. Fine, I never asked any questions. A year and a half later, or 2.5 years later, he comes to me and he says he wants to start Shiduchim. So I tell him, okay, you know, we never discussed your background. Where are you from? Where you grow up? So he tells me, oh, I'm from this and this state. I said, ah, there's no Judaism there. So how do you know so much about Judaism? So he says, oh, I did what you said in class. So I'm thinking, okay, what did I say? What, tell me, what's the secret? He says, you always say in the Binyan HaBayit class, as often as you can, go spend time in Jewish homes. I spent a year and a half, and that year and a half before I came to Machon Meir, I didn't know anything, but I was dorming in a Jewish home, and every Shabbos I was in a Jewish home. So because I was in an Orthodox community, and every Shabbos I was in a Jewish home, so I learned. That's how I know what I know. So he was well ahead of guys who were here 2 or 3 years in his knowledge of overall Judaism. What are our customs on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Pesach and Sukkot? He knew everything. Why? Because he lived it. The Torah is a living Torah. It's a way of life. We're going to try to make it as alive as possible. At the same time, my greatest advice to you is be a frequent guest for whole Shabbosos. Find families you feel comfortable with and be their Shabbos. As much as you can, go to people for Shabbos. And I'm always encouraging guys to do this. I'm not good enough. I can't invite you for a whole Shabbos. My apartment barely has room for all of us. I'll be happy to invite as many guys as I can, as many Shabbatot as I can. We, Baruch Shem, have guests often, and we're very happy to do it. But that's not good enough. You got to see what happens when the kid wakes up Shabbos morning and starts taking eggs out of the fridge and starts throwing them on the floor. And the mother walks in and says, what are you doing? And he says, I'm making a cake. Now what do you do? He's making a cake. Isn't that how Zima makes a cake? Not exactly, but at 4 years old, it's very alive. You got to see what happens when the husband comes home and he finds the kids playing with knives and the wife is in the bathroom and he's wondering, how does my wife leave knives around when the kids can play with it? How does he react? You got to be around there when things that are happening that do not happen at the Shabbos table. See what Jewish life is about beyond the Shabbos table. Whenever you can, I strongly recommend, go away for Shabbos. You have the in Shabbosos, you'll gain from Machon Mirin the in Shabbosos. Any Shabbos that is not an in Shabbos, do me a favor, I don't want to see you here. Saying it very plainly, to your benefit, find families, talk to Rav Lisman, talk to Rav Orna Levi, talk to the Madrich, they'll arrange for you families to go to, go. You will learn much more than we could ever teach you here. And I'm telling you this, I cannot stress it enough. We'll do our best. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to build your own families. To build your own families, the best thing you could have are role models. So there are role models in learning and role models in behavior, and we try to give that here at Machon Meir. But when it comes to building a Jewish home, you got to see it up close. Now, with that introduction, let's begin. Does everyone here know who Bill Gates is? So, let's imagine that I came to you and I said, Bill Gates wants a meeting with you in 2 weeks. He wants to make a partnership. And this is an area which you know enough about that he wants to make a partnership with you. He's going to form a new business. Why don't you prepare in 2 weeks? Bill Gates is coming down to Jerusalem and we want you to have a meeting with him. You can imagine that you'd spend those 2 weeks preparing. Spend those 2 weeks doing research, getting your nicest suit, your nicest tie, having a good nap. You'd be preparing. And when the time came for the meeting, then you'd come into that meeting having done as much preparation as you could. We are preparing for a mission, for a partnership with one that is greater than Bill Gates. There exists such a thing, you guys know? Yeah, it's called God. I mean, there are greater people than Bill Gates other than God. But our sages teach us that when we discuss any human being, there are three partners in the creation of every human being. Father, mother, God. God forms a partnership with the two parents. God says, honor them, they are my partners. Together we create you. God doesn't create man out of thin air. God takes partners to create man. Every man is created out of three partners. Father, mother, God. So when we get married, we are not only making the union between husband and wife, where we view it as a union between husband, wife, and God. Right? I told you the story about my friend who was insane. No, almost everyone here is new. I had a friend in the Lower East Side who was insane. He's still my friend, and he's still in the Lower East Side, and he's still insane. And literally, I mean, this was a guy who used to go to insane asylums and sign out people. Sign out people who needed to be in the asylum under his responsibility. He'd take them into his own care, and they didn't know he was nuts. So we're still friends. But he's crazy. What can he do? I mean, what can he do? So he would cross the Williamsburg Bridge by foot early in the morning, like 3 o'clock in the morning, go to mikveh, and go help make minyanim there. So they had all kinds of shuls. They couldn't have 10 people. They couldn't have a minyan. So that was his thing. He'd walk from shul to shul to shul helping make minyanim, come back to the Lower East Side and help make minyanim, and then go to his minyan where he'd daven. All the other minyanim, he didn't daven. So he once stops, he hitches a ride across the bridge, and he gets into the car, and the guy tells him, do you know who the Son of God is? So the guy looks him in the eye and says, sure, I know who the Son of God is. I'm the Son of God. So he comes back and he tells me, he asked me a question, he thought he had me. I told him. Now you can imagine a guy who's, I mean, he's crazy. When he says he's the Son of God, I initially wasn't sure what he meant to say. And then he told me, what do you mean? The verse says in the Torah, this past Shabbos, we read it, Banim atem Hashem Elokechem, you're all sons of God. So on one level, he's right. That is what the Torah said in this past week's parasha. It said we're all sons of God. On another level, we have to remember that there's every one of us comes from a partnership, Father, Mother, God. We are. We don't talk about it that way. We don't view it that way. But there's an aspect where every human being is formed by a partnership of that union. And when we approach this this class. When we approach the concept of marriage, so we have to remember we're approaching a partnership not only with a fellow woman, our wives, but we're also approaching a partnership with God, and we have to prepare. Now, when you walk outside and you look at any billboard, unfortunately, I'm embarrassed to say, even here in Jerusalem, what you see is doesn't seem to be a representation of a partnership with God. You see an advertisement of something that seems very physical, seems even animalistic, even barbarian. I mean, they think they're wearing fancy clothing. Think of a cave woman. She'd be dressed about the same way that these women are dressed. I mean, I don't know. I didn't live back then. I'm not that old. But yeah, I think, guys, you're allowed to have a sense of humor. So it's tremendous. But at the end of the day, when we look outside, the world takes this concept of a connection between a man and a woman, and the world presents it to us as something so physical, something, I would even say, dark, something that has nothing to do with giving, nothing to do with holiness or purity. We have a rule. God created this world a balanced world. You want to see the greatest source of holiness? That's where you'll have the greatest source of impurity as well. Our sages tell us that right here in Jerusalem, they used to burn children alive. The greatest place where you had the greatest holiness, you had the greatest form of pagan cruelty. In Jerusalem, Gehinnom, when we speak about perdition, hell, so we call it Gehinnom. Gehinnom is a reference to a place right here, right near Jerusalem. It was a valley where they used to have people playing drums while these pagan priests would take a baby and pass him into fire in front of the parents so that the parents wouldn't hear the baby wail. They'd be banging there on drums. Yeah, right here in Jerusalem, you had that same balance. Wherever you have greater holiness, you have greater impurity. Our sages take it to the extent, our sages teach us that in Chutz Laaretz, the pagans aren't considered idol worshippers like in Israel. They're all fakers, the Gemara says. In Chutz Laaretz, we're more lenient when it comes to the laws of wine that was in the presence of a non-Jew. We know that a person who isn't Jewish is not supposed to touch wine. They say if a non-Jewish person touches wine, we have to worry. Maybe he had improper thoughts. He thought he'd libated for his God, and we don't drink that wine. That's why we encourage people who are in the gear process not to touch the wine, even though many wines are cooked. And once a wine is cooked, so that invalidates it from being libated, even by pagan rules. And therefore, we don't have to worry if it's mevushal, if the wine was cooked. But many wines are not cooked. The finer wines are not cooked. And as such, those wines, if a non-Jew would touch them, then we wouldn't drink that wine. So the Gemara has certain leniencies. It says in Chutz Laaretz we're not so worried because they're not as sincere in their worship. The Gemara says minhag avotem miden. They're just doing what their fathers did. They don't really believe. In Eretz Yisrael, you have real service of God. In Eretz Yisrael, you have holier possibilities of serving God. By the same token, the idol worship here was far more intent. The people really meant what they were doing. Idol worship here was on a greater level. So there's always this balance. When we view this concept of a man and a woman getting together, so when you look around you, you see it's being used as something that's really impure, really very far from being something holy. Well, you should know that in and of itself is proof that you have the greatest source of holiness there. That's where we'll be able to find it. We always take something and we say, God gives potential to go to both extremes. Which way are you going to take it? But if it has potential for this way, it's got potential for the other way. And we're going to try and develop our understanding of how to develop it into a holy and beautiful home. I'd like to conclude with a famous story in the Midrash. The Midrash says, there was once an important Roman woman who met Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta. And she asked him, how many days did it take God to create the world? So he told her, oh, it says in the Bible, God created the world in 6 days. So she said, okay, and what's he been doing since then? So he told her, since then God's been sitting and he's been matchmaking. He's been saying the daughter of so-and-so will marry so-and-so, the wife of so-and-so will ultimately marry so-and-so. He's been matchmaking. She said, oh, that's what God's doing. I can do that too. So she said, you know, I got so many male slaves, female slaves, in a short time I could marry them all off. So he said to her, you know, if you think it's easy, well, God thinks it's hard like the splitting of the Red Sea. That's how he answered her, and he walked away. So she said, I wonder why God thinks it's so hard. So she took 1,000 male servants and 1,000 female servants, and she made 2 rows, and she said, you're marrying her, you're marrying him. Back and forth, she makes 1,000 shiduchim in a few minutes and sends them all off. Okay? The next morning, they come in. This guy has a broken skull. That guy is missing his eye. It's interesting. The Gemara seems to say the wives are more abusive than the men. So, but they're each coming in and they're wounded. This one has a broken foot. And she asked them, what's going on with you guys? So this one said, I don't want him. And she said, and he said, I don't want her. And she calls back Rav Yossi Bar Chalavta and she says, there's no God like your God. Your Torah is true, it's beautiful, it's straight, you got it right. He told her, I told you, if you think it's so easy, God finds it difficult. God makes matches whether people like it or not. God takes single people and places them in bondage. He takes them free of their bondage and places them in a home. What does it mean God takes them and places them in their home? Either, the word says bakosharot. God places them in their home either with bechi or shira, either with song or wailing. One way or another, they end up being married. The question is, are they going to wail and cry or are they going to be happy? But God makes the home work. So this concept of Shalom Bayis making a home work, it can be through tears, it could be through song. And we're going to try to discuss how we make it through song, how we make this pleasant experience and how we build and make the home a song. So Bezat Shem, next week we will begin with things that are more practical. This was just our first introductory class. Sunday night, Bezat Hashem. At the end of our classes,